Anytime we start a new partnership, we always start slow with, you know, just one referral or one client or what have you. And we have to see that they're going to treat people the same way we expect to, you know, that we treat them, and that that person's going to get that same experience. So if we reply to emails the same day, you know, we meet our promises for deadlines, we set fixed flat rate quotes ahead of time before they even start working with us, so there's complete transparency. We expect our partners to operate essentially the same way, right? We want them to be responsive. We want them to be transparent. We want them to meet deadlines and expectations. So the client would be happy to refer either of us to anyone they knew, right? So if the person we're working with as a potential partner fails to do that, fails to meet expectations, makes promises they don't keep, doesn't communicate well, isn't transparent with how they're doing things, then immediately our values are misaligned, right? We want somebody who shares our values, who could, the best way I could think of it is they could literally be part of our company and there wouldn't be any difference, right? We wouldn't have to teach them anything new because they already operate exactly the way we operate, right? So that makes a great partner. And somebody who isn't following those same values and aligned in the same way is not going to be a good partner for us. So we have to build trust by seeing that not only do they say what they're going to do, but they do what they say, right? The actions speak louder than words, and their actions have to match with what we expect from them and what we expect from ourselves.
I think there's a great standard you've just described here around there is, they may as well be part of our business. That is probably the litmus test for me. If, you know, you can walk between two very different buildings and you feel as though there's still that translation between the cultures of those two organizations, even if it lives with only a few people, I think that is such an important test for people to look at as they're trying to work out, is this a true partnership or not? Look for that translation. I think it's super, super valuable. And it is replicable too, I think. And we argue that you can do this with many different partners at a time, because once you get this right, it's not as though you need to do a heavy lift every time. Once you build that formula, it seems to work out pretty well. Matt, was there a particular partnership that opened your eyes to the power and the potential for doing really substantial partnerships, maybe earlier in the piece where you did what you said? You know, you started with one referral and then it really started to grow. And that really, for the first time, made you think, actually, no, wait a second, this is how we can do business. Was there one of those that you could talk to?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been, even in earlier ventures than, you know, what I'm doing now, partners were always a key piece of my plan. Because, again, if you, you know, get somebody as a referral from a partner, it's going to be a much more likely, they know who you're looking for and who's a good fit for you. So you're automatically going to be talking to people who, you know, are going to be likely a good customer for you. And then because of the referral and the relationship, it's generally much easier to bring them on board and have a successful interaction. So even from my earlier days, I mean, even from the catering business, for example, we partnered with a bunch of different providers of different things. For example, with we had the food part. We partnered with venues who didn't provide food, but, you know, knew that we would do a great job. We would show up on time. People would like the food. They were happy with it. And we would, you know, when people came to us first and were looking for a venue or hadn't settled on one yet, we could recommend venues that we knew, you know, people had a really good experience at and didn't get hit with a bunch of unexpected charges or scheduling conflicts or all kinds of other things. So I've always been a big believer in partnerships. And in the early days of the accounting, we partnered with some firms that worked on sort of business coaching, right? They would try to help business owners improve their businesses, but they had a hard time because if the business owner didn't have good metrics, good financials, it was hard for them to see if the improvements they were suggesting were having the impact that they were hoping for. So we would partner with firms like that, and they would send us a lot of people, because a lot of people, again, struggled with this, didn't have good books. By us cleaning up the books and working with them, then now the coach could be much more successful because they could see the direct impact of the suggestions they were making, and the owner could see that implementing those suggestions was having the desired impact. And it was great for us because we were working with clients who appreciated the work we did and were getting good value out of the numbers instead of just saying, well, I just need to hire this because eventually I have to pay taxes, so I'll need it, but really not seeing any value in the work we were doing. So again, it was a great complementary relationship for us to be able to help those same clients that were working with the coaches, and everybody was getting better results as a result of the collaboration.
I love that way that ecosystem play can play out for people, because I think it's once you tap into it, it becomes super powerful. What are your clients, so the businesses that you're supporting, what are they often getting wrong about the way they frame partnerships for their work?
I think a lot of times people think of partnerships from this perspective of what can I get out of it? Right. And they're looking for, okay, if I partner with that guy and he sends me 10 leads a month and I can close 4 of them, it would be worth this much to me in sales. So I'm going to try and talk that guy into sending me leads because that will help me. But they're missing the reciprocal part of it. Right. And if it's just pay, okay, I'll pay you so much for sending me your clients. If that person agrees to that, they may then switch to somebody who offers them more. Or they might find that if you're not a good fit and you're not delivering value, then the people they've sent over are coming back to them unhappy and dissatisfied, and that causes problems. So to me, doing a partnership based on just a financial, you know, what can I get out of it, or paying for things, is much less powerful and much less likely to succeed than something that's built on a complementary result where everybody gets something out of it. Everybody has something to contribute and everybody gets something positive out of it. And it's, you know, a 1+1=3 kind of situation, rather than trying to just say, what can I get out of it? And I think that's not just in partnerships and not just in business, but in life in general, right? If you look first, how can I add value? And then it will come back to me probably eventually, rather than going into it and saying, what value can I extract, right, to benefit me? I think you're much less likely to have good outcomes with the me first philosophy versus the give first philosophy.